Good morning and welcome to Grace Chapel. Thank you for joining us for our Sunday morning service.
Good morning, everybody. Happy to see everybody here and everybody listening online in the future, as we don't have internet service this morning, but praise God, we got the word. Amen. And I guess let's start it off with a little prayer. All right, Lord, we thank you for all the mighty blessings that you've bestowed upon us, and we ask you to forgive us for not recognizing many of these things, nor appreciating them. And we ask that you continue to work with each and every one of us and help us to know you, your love, and your truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. I was reading over... Well, it started with a thought that I had last night, I guess. And the thought was the zeal of a new Christian. And I think back to when I first became a Christian, and I'm sure many of us have the same sort of memory as I do. Maybe we don't. Maybe I'm alone. We'll find out. But, you have this certain excitement. You know, this hunger to get to know God. I mean, you want to go out, you want to tell everybody. You know, we sing a song about that, right? Get all excited, go tell everybody, you know, Jesus Christ is King. And at least that's how I was. I just wanted to tell everybody the good news, the great news. Hey, you know, we got it. We know what to do now. And then what happens? For me, it was difficult because I started telling people and I started getting rejected. Even in my own house, my wife, who professed to be a Christian, thought I lost my mind. And praise God, I think I did. Because I found a better mind, the mind of Christ. I mean, my family, or folks that I had called family up until that point, started to pull away. Friends and others became non-existent. I found myself, I felt I was alone. It wasn't true, I wasn't alone. I had asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior and welcomed him into my heart. And he makes a promise to each and every one of us that if we do that, he will be there and he will always be there. And being a young Christian, that was about what I knew. And I stayed there. And I stood. And praise God, I'd like to think through my standing, my wife was also able to come to know Christ. And my children as well. And they're learning, they're getting there, but you know, they're well on their way, at least farther along than I was at that age. And I got to thinking, I mean, we see folks come into the ministry. We see folks come to know the Lord. And we see this, you know, almost a bright flash where they're excited. And then they fizzle out. Why is that? I mean, why do so many lose that fire? What that brought to mind was the parable of the seed and the sower over in Luke. And let's turn there over to Luke chapter 8. And I'm not going to go through, I think it's like 5 through 8, which is the actual parable, but yet I'm going to start at 9. And this is where after Jesus told his disciples this parable that they said, well, let's start reading 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked out, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. I'd like to be one of those that has a good heart, that you know, it has that soil for the seed to grow in and can bring forth fruit. I'm working on it. I might have a little seedling starting, and that's a start. I encourage each and every one of you to look close and see what the state of your heart is. I mean, do you desire to be faithful? Do you want to serve God? If we go over to Luke chapter 10, just for a verse, you don't have to turn there. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." I mean, that's a pretty big deal. You got to put everything aside and look only to him. That's where all of your desire should be. Have you grown complacent? Have you become lukewarm? Or over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, are you like Paul, where he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Which camp do you fall in? We know over in Revelations, and I'll be reading from chapter 3, verse 14, which is the message to Laodicea. I'm going to read this, and we'll see what the danger is to them that aren't on fire for the Lord, that aren't ministers of fire. All right? Starting at 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the last Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be jealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, if you look at yourself and you find yourself to be lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, you got to make a change. You got to move forward. You're in great danger at that point. What the Lord calls us to be are ministers of fire. Take heed and run to Jesus. Amen? All right.
Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's going to do. Word and faith is my sword and shield. Jesus is the Lord of the way.
Praise the Lord. Y'all thought you were done, didn't you? I really wasn't coming up here this morning. I was being a bad boy. How many times have I preached, BS'd it in season and out of season? And I was sitting down there, and I don't feel like going up there today. I don't feel good. My head hurts. My throat hurts. I got enough mucus to fill a dump truck 3 or 4 times. I've been going through Kleenexes like nobody's business. Every time I turn around, I say, Ann, give me another box of Kleenex. She looks at me like, what'd you do with the last 5? And it just gets worse and worse, but I start feeling better, and I start, oh, man, praise God, I'm getting through this thing. Hallelujah, glory, glory. Right back down I go again. What's up with some of this stuff? So I just say, I'm just going to stay down here today and feel sorry for myself and be pitiful and hope everybody else feels sorry for me enough to pray for me. But evidently somebody did pray for me, but it didn't go the way I wanted it to. The way I wanted it to is to make me feel better. But instead, the Lord started working on me. He says, don't you preach, be instant in season and out of season. Well, yeah, Lord, you know, I always am. What are you doing sitting here? That's not fair. What's fair? You're down there, I'm up here. Yeah, you got a point there, Lord. So here I am. Flapping my tater trap, and you got to put up with it. You know, what are we doing here? What are we doing out here in this weird place where the internet doesn't work half the time? Power goes out all the time. It's either too hot or too cold. At the same time, Cheryl and I can walk in the camp kitchen and freeze, and everybody else is sitting there sweating. We're wanting to turn the heat up. They're saying, open the windows. And summertime, it goes in reverse. How come we are so weird? It's because we're under the curse. We're under the curse. God cursed the earth. And we come from the earth. Adam was made from the dust. And we can't seem to get it right to understand that cursed is cursed. So we try to go around and undo that. We put our little fig leaves on. I see people come up all the time and I see their fig leaves. You know what I'm talking about? Melody's over there looking at me. What would the Lord say to Jeremiah? Don't fear the face of the people. It's just they're trying to listen, that's all. And when people try to listen, sometimes they get weird looks on their faces. Of course, Tristan doesn't. His face always looks weird. But we try to justify ourselves, to make ourselves look better. And sometimes people go to church for that reason. I remember reading in the scripture where Jesus said to the disciples, whom do men say that I am? One of the disciples says, a great prophet. Another one, a great teacher. Peter jumps up and says, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for neither flesh and blood is shown this unto you, but my heavenly Father. You know, the only really real reason to go to church is to have that revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yeah. And he is our Savior. There was another place where Jesus was preaching, and he said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you'll no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. The people got mad. They left. They couldn't understand that. They couldn't understand the symbolism, the power of the symbolism of that, and that Jesus was that sacrifice. And what do you do when you sacrifice that animal? The priest would eat the blood. They eat the flesh. He gave his body for us. He gave his blood for us. Not for us individually, but us corporally as his creation. God so loved his creation, the world, that which he created, that he had to curse because of sin. He so loved it that he gave himself for it. And whosoever would believe should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's through that knowledge, that revelation that God gives us that we can believe. When all those people left, Jesus turned to the 11 or 12 and said, what about you guys? What are you going to do? Why don't you leave? Peter said, where do we go? You're the only one that has the words of salvation. Over in John, would you believe I marked the wrong verse? But in John it does say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't come to the Lord by the church or by race or by family tree or by association. You come to the Father by Jesus. And only by Jesus will you get the truth. The only reason you should be here, whether it be in this church or in South Carolina or in Vermont or wherever you are listening through this, either on the internet or radio or whatever, the only reason to be here is to know the truth. Because it's the truth that sets you free. Say, free from what? I am free. I live in America, the land of the brave and the free. Yeah, you stupid idiot. If you were free, you wouldn't need to have a license for everything you want to do. You wouldn't need permission from the government to paint your house or fix your front steps. There are some places in this country you can't even paint your bathroom or change a toilet seat without a license. And the churches have forsaken the truth. They have forsaken the truth. And they've lost what God had given them. Jesus said, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, or Herod and the Pharisees. Of course, the disciples didn't have a clue what he was talking about. And you know what? Most people in churches today don't still have a clue. The leaven of Herod was that lies and deceit the government pushes. And the leaven of the Pharisees is the traditions and the lies and the deceit that the churches preach. The false preachers. The Jews told Jesus they were free too. They said, we'd be under bondage to no man. Can you imagine that? There the Roman centurion standing right there with a sword in his hand and them having to pay taxes to Rome. And them have the stupidity to say we're under bondage to no man. Wake up, America. We're under bondage. And not just bondage of a government that lies to us and preachers that lie to us. We're under bondage to sin and death. But if we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ and shed ourselves of our own righteousness that we may be righteous through him, then we are free. We are free to live in the knowledge of the power of God in our lives. And we're free to be instant in season and out of season. Because we serve one who is greater than we are. And when we serve one who's greater than we are, it's all about him. It's not about us. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go forth and walk in that joy that God gives us, that he is our Heavenly Father when we accept his Son and we're born again into his kingdom and into his body. Amen?
Amen.
How about singing something for us, kids?
Praise the name.